Friends, welcome to the worship of God at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. We're very glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us, we're particularly glad that you decided to spend a little time with us here at Wallingford Presbyterian Church. I'm going to need your help. I don't know how many of you could possibly spare to stay for a few minutes after the worship service. But Monday, we are starting to do the upgrade to the sound system, which will require putting scaffolding, which is part of it is in the fellowship hall, because we need to get to the peak in the center of the church, which means that we're going to have to move some pews back so that we can get the scaffolding in. So if the pews are not light, but they're also not heavier than they're lighter than they look, but they're still heavy, if that makes sense. And just so you know what you're getting into, underneath the pew at either end is a pin that we need to lift up, because the pin goes into a hole, which is hopefully what keeps the pew in place. And then what we're going to need to do is move about 10 pews and just move them back so that we create an opening about where the middle of the church is. So if you can spare a few minutes and can help us do that, then we can bring the scaffolding in on Monday morning, and the folks are coming in the afternoon to start the work. So that would be much appreciated. I meant to send an email out, but I didn't get through all of the emails that I needed to get through after being gone for 2 weeks. So that was my bad. Anyways, if you can help, that'll be great, and we'll start that work on Monday. I'll remind you that there are black friendship pew pads on the center of each pew, and I invite you to fill those out and share them with other worshipers in the same pew. My friends, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The reason we do this, the reason that we get up out of our pews is not to set up our next golf game with one another. It's a time for us to share with one another the importance and in a small way, in a token way, by extending the right hand of fellowship and friendship with one another, to say to one another, I welcome you to this community of faith. I welcome you wholeheartedly because I have received the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ. And because of that, it inspires me, it empowers me, it helps me to move out into the world with confidence and courage to extend that same peace and that same grace with you. So, peace be with you, and I invite you to share the peace which you have received with one another.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, as we near the end of these long summer days, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the opportunity to maybe have a little extra time in our day to pay a little better attention to your presence in our lives, maybe to declutter part of our lives as we move forward. Thank you for this community of faith, this congregation that walks with us in times of joy, in times of concern, in times of trouble, and in times of sorrow. Thank you for these people, our brothers and sisters in faith and discipleship and journey. We gather as your people to worship you, to give you thanks, to ask for your forgiveness, to ask for your mercy as we reflect on the things that we have done, the things we have failed to do. We gather to worship, to sing, to offer you our song, to offer you our heart, to offer you the joy that we have simply by being children, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So be with us Send your Holy Spirit among us. Send your Holy Spirit to live in us, through us. Be with us as we pray, as we sing, as we listen to your word. And may we leave this place somehow a little better than we were, a little more generous, a little more loving, a little more understanding, because of the grace we have received through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
I invite the congregation to stand, both in body and spirit, for the call to worship. Please join me in the call to worship. It is printed in your worship bulletin. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."
We come as God's beloved children, seeking the bread that gives new and everlasting life.
Come, let us worship God together.
Friends, you may be seated. And now it's time for young disciples, so I invite any children to come forward now. Good morning, everybody.
I'm so glad you're here.
How are we doing today? Good.
That's great. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit
about food. Okay? So what's
everybody's favorite food?
Do you have a favorite? It can be a dessert. It's okay.
A banana split.
A banana split. Oh, that's a good one. Okay. Anybody else have a favorite food? Popcorn chicken. Ooh, that's good. You said
banana bread? Oh, I had some good banana bread the other day.
You would have loved it. Okay, so does anybody like bread other than banana bread, which I totally agree with? Anybody like bread? Right? With butter? Yeah, bread with jam? How do you like it?
I like with butter.
Mm-hmm. With butter, me too. Toasted, right? So I didn't have any normal bread. This'll do for today. Got some hamburger buns here, left over, right? You know, we've all got them sitting around. Okay, so, you know, we got some bread. It's delicious, you know, and you can eat them with all different kinds of toppings.
And today, the funny
thing is we're going to talk about a scripture where Jesus said that he's bread. That's weird, right? Yeah, I know, we're all laughing up here, but, right? That's a deeper question than you think. She said, is it like we could just take a bite of him? Ooh, right? It could be
kind of a joke, but it could also be a lot deeper than we might think. And we'll get back to that.
Okay. So Jesus said he's bread. So weird, right? Did you say you're bread? No, right? Okay. All right. Keep that in mind. Then the next thing that he says is, if you eat of me, you'll never be hungry. Really weird, right? So after you eat a meal, what happens a few hours after you eat?
You get more hungry,
right? You're starving, or maybe you just have a little craving for a dessert or something, but at least something's going on, right? So Jesus, first of all, says he's bread, and then he says you'll never be hungry again. Wow. Oh, sometimes I feel that way after going to Applebee's or something like that. But that I'll never be hungry again. But he's saying, eat of me and you'll never be hungry again. How can that be the case? How can that be the case? So let me
ask you another question. If Jesus is
the bread, how does he fill us so that we can never eat again? Is he sitting in our stomach? No, right? That's kind of funny, right? Jesus in our tummy, yeah? Right? In our hearts. So this is what I wanted to wonder about
with you guys. So
instead of Jesus filling us like we're so full after a big meal, what about something else? What about Jesus filling something else inside of us? What about our heart? Right? That's kind of weird. Again, just track with me. It's still weird to think about shoving bread into your heart, right? And filling it up. That's still weird. Okay? But what if something else filled our hearts? What if in the same way that bread makes us really full, oh man, I'm so full I can barely move. What if Jesus' love for us makes our heart feel that way? So full, it's like, oh, I can barely move, right? Because of the love that he has for us and the life that he gives us, right? It's kind of a strange thought. But think about maybe when you see someone that you love, when you see your mom or dad or maybe a friend that you haven't seen in a while. What's that feeling that you have? You're smiling, right? That overwhelming feeling of joy, right? And love, just bubbling over. And just so full, almost like you can't even move, right? Full of so much love and joy. And that's what we can get from Jesus. That even though his love doesn't fill our tummies, it fills our hearts. Because he is our source of life. And he just continues to give it to us because he's the bread of life, right? It's a lot of crazy thoughts, but at the end of the day, it's very powerful. And we can take that with us, right? Because if we ever feel alone or sad, we can think about how God is always with us and that Jesus continues to fill our hearts and is always with us. How's that sound? Good? All right, let's pray together.
God, we thank you so much
for being the bread of life, for filling our hearts, and being there for all of our needs. We pray that you would teach us to go out and feel the love that you have for us, and that we would be so full of your life and your spirit that we could show it to others. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you guys can go to Sunday school. Thank you so much.
you guys. It was beautiful. Sisters and brothers, even our best intentions go awry when we are not at one with God's purpose. Our gracious God journeys with us and provides for us with unending mercy, patience, and kindness, so that when we repent, we find ourselves forgiven. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's love for us. Living God, being together gives us time to reflect on our presence in your world. We confess that sometimes our living does not reflect our gratitude for all you give so freely. When we do not love like when anger controls our actions, when we walk away from hard conversations, when we avoid our own guilt, and fail to build up the body of Christ, forgive us and help us. Renew our desire to live transformed by your love. Do not let us be defeated by our failures. In being honest with you, keep us from being disheartened disciples. Renew us, God, and help us. Amen. Friends, God forgives us unconditionally. Through this gift of grace, may we have the confidence to live transformed by God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, what shall we do in response to God's forgiveness? As God's own people, we will be merciful in action, kindly in heart, humble in mind, always ready to forgive as freely as God has forgiven us, and above everything else, we will be loving and never forget to be thankful for what Christ has done for us. Amen. Please be seated. Please pray with me. Holy Spirit, come dwell with us and in us, that we, as we read and listen to God's word, we might be blessed with understanding. Amen. A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 25 through verses 2 of chapter 5. I invite you to listen for the word of God. So then, putting away any falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35, and verses 41 through 51. Hear now the word of the Lord. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." When the Jews began to complain about him, he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one has come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, it's not rocket science. There's nothing that Paul writes to the Christians in Ephesus that should surprise us somehow. We all know the golden rule, and even people who are unchurched have heard at some point or another that love is expressed through action, and that to live in society means living with a certain amount of rules and directions so that that society can function in a civil and orderly manner. As Jesus said, it's not so much what goes into the mouth that's important, it's what comes out of it. Not rocket science, but Paul seems to feel that he needs to be clear with the Christians in Ephesus. Why do you think that that might be? Maybe because the Christians in Ephesus are all human beings. And although we all understand what Jesus said, it's another thing to actually do what he calls us to do. You know, what must have been going on in Ephesus that Paul feels a need to be so explicit in what he writes to them? Don't steal. Don't speak evil of one another. Don't stay angry. Put away your bitterness and your wrath and your anger and your wrangling and your slander together with all your malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. If I didn't know any better, I would think that Ephesus was in the middle of a political campaign. If the shoe fits. I have to wonder if the people of Ephesus were all that different from present-day us. Truth is that we are all often quick to judge. We all too often focus on surface differences and miss the matters of the heart. I've shared some of these thoughts with you before, but they're worth sharing again. I loved being around my granddaughters when they were teenagers. They're not anymore. Mind you, not that my grandsons didn't exhibit these same qualities that I'm about to share with you.
But they were so obviously programmed and influenced by our society and by Madison Avenue, the advertising and the entertainment industry. Whenever I had an opportunity, I would look at them as we walked through the mall together. And Natalie and Kristen, especially Natalie, could look at someone, especially another girl, and make a decision about her in less than 3 seconds. Her eyes started at the top of this new girl's head and ran quickly down to her toes. And within that time frame, they pretty much knew where the girl had purchased her clothes and made a judgment of what kind of person she was. Well, that's a goth or an emo or a hipster or a punker or a popular girl or a nerd or a rapper or whatever. All this without saying a word. And things haven't changed that much over the years because I see our youth in our youth group doing that still. The first day of school's coming up, it's going to be tough for them. They're going to be really busy up there as they walk by all these new people at school. Anyways. But of course, the point to all that is that we all do it. We older folks are just not maybe as fast as we used to be when we do that. But our judgments tend to be and run much deeper and are much more solidified when we make that judgment. We see someone at work or we meet someone on the street or even here at church, and the voices in our heads start going off, categorizing, making judgments, decisions on who they are, who they might be, just on what we can see. And even what we don't see. Because now we don't even have to see folks, thanks to Facebook and all the other social media outlets at our fingertips. We can judge people through cyberspace. I told you this story, but when I turned 40, lo, these many years ago, Cindy and I were on vacation. I decided to get my ear pierced. Maybe because I'm a sailor at heart and sailors do that sort of thing. Or maybe because I was chasing after my youth because 40-year-olds do that sort of thing. Or maybe because I can be a little passive-aggressive sometimes and wanted to see how the members of the congregation I was serving at the time would react. Because pastors do that sort of thing. Well, most of the members didn't say much, but others were really mad at me. I no longer matched the image they had of what a minister should look like, how they should behave. Ministers don't wear earrings, one of my members told me. My point, of course, is that I had not fundamentally changed by having my ear pierced. My heart was the same. But the members who had set an image of me had to readjust their prejudice of who wears earrings, what kind of people wear earrings, what they were like. Let me tell you another story. Fred Craddock, former professor of preaching at the Candler School of Theology in Atlanta, tells this story, this true story, about his first call to seminary to a little church in eastern Tennessee. Now, Fred is, an American Baptist, not a Presbyterian, which will play itself out in the story when you hear the decisions that are made. The community was in transition because of the building of an atomic power station. There were lots of transient and an influx of people in the little town. A number of trailer parks sprang up around the once quiet little town. We need to launch a calling campaign, Fred announced to the governing board. They responded that they didn't think those kind of people would fit in with their church. It was agreed that they would pray about it. You know what that means? That's like me when the kids say, can we go do this? And I say, let me think about it. They knew that that meant I didn't really want to do that. Anyway. They said it was agreed they would pray about it and meet the following week to make a final decision. The following Sunday, Fred opened the meeting, and immediately one of the elders moved that only people who owned property in the community could be members of the church. Boom! Slammed that door.
It was seconded and the motion was passed by the governing board. Now, years later, Fred, now married, wanted to show his wife where he started his ministry, and they found the old church, and much to his surprise, the parking lot was full. Cars, trucks, motorcycles, and out front a big sign that read, "Barbecue, all you can eat." The church was now a restaurant. The pews pushed to the sides, the little organ no longer played. And Fred, in telling this story, reflects, people everywhere, sitting there eating barbecued pork and chicken and ribs, all kinds of people. I said to Nettie, it's a good thing this is not still a church. Otherwise, these people couldn't be here. Well, maybe it's time for me to get a tattoo. In Jesus' day, rules would mostly be about keeping dietary laws, making sure that as a good Jew, you kept yourself clean, you ate the right things. The community was preoccupied with what would defile the body, but Jesus is more preoccupied with what would defile the heart. Jesus is more interested in the heart than in the stomach. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles, because the mouth is the speaker for the heart and the mind. And that's what Paul focuses on as he writes to the Ephesians. It may not be rocket science, but it's an earth-shattering truth, one we all know in our hearts, and one that we would often prefer to ignore. What we say and what we do, how we treat one another, especially in the community of the church, matters. Because they will know we are Christians by our love. If there's one sin that I have most often seen as a minister, it is surely that. Probably one that I myself have made, to be truthful. We can be so hateful with one another, say such hateful things to one another, be so destructive and be so mean. My friends, let us watch our mouths as people. Let us not be mean to one another. Let us often consider what is filling our hearts and our minds. And let us watch our fingers as they are typing at the keyboard. Paul says, be imitators of God in what we say and do. According to Matthew, soon after Jesus tells his disciples to consider what is in their hearts and what is coming out of their mouths, he leaves for the district of Tyre and Sidon. A little background. Jesus breaks the rules. Well, not all the rules, but mainly the ones that serve to separate us from loving one another and loving God. My guess is that Jesus would stop at stop signs still. So, not those types of rules. But he breaks the rules by doing that, by going to Tyre and Sidon. And his disciples certainly were surprised. You see, Jesus ventures into Canaanite territory where no self-respecting Jew would be found, let alone a teacher and a prophet and a rabbi. Maybe he went there expecting no one would follow. But here he encounters a woman who begins to shout at him in desperation because she fears for the life of her child. Have mercy on me, Son of David, she cries out. And here's a bit about rules to keep and rules to lose. The Canaanites inhabited a land that the Hebrews conquered under Joshua. They were different in many, many ways, culture and heritage and religion. They were, in a word, marginalized. What takes place in the scene that Matthew describes violates all kinds of social rules and mores. The woman's behavior would have been found unacceptable and an affront. A Canaanite had no business talking to a Jew, not to mention a woman to a man. And shouting, absolutely unheard of, shameful, arrogant, and rude. The disciples are outraged. But she's driven by her love for her child, and so she begs for mercy.
Have mercy on me, help me, for all, for after all, isn't that the stuff that God is made of? Mercy and forgiveness. In Greek, the request is a verb, not a noun. Mercy, eleison. It is the same verb that Jesus uses in the Beatitudes to describe the mercy that the merciful receive. It is what others seeking healing ask for and what the unforgiving servant lacks. It's not a word we use a lot these days, but it is the word, the request of a penitent disciple, of one who knows what it means to have been marginalized. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. You and me pray that prayer every Sunday when we pray our prayer of confession. I don't know if you realize that. We pray it because we remember what it means to be marginalized, living on the edge of God's love, and are now so thankful, so appreciative of God's grace, forgiveness, and mercy and love, that we do our best to be merciful with others. I still carry around with me, though it doesn't remind me often enough, a prayer rope that I got introduced to when I traveled to Romania many, many years ago to study the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox monks there use that prayer rope. It's just a simple rope with knots in it to pray an ancient prayer, the Jesus prayer, prayer from the heart, they say. And they pray it, and they try to pray it unceasingly, and I'm afraid I fail at that. But the words of the prayer are simple. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's the prayer of one who realizes that the relationship we live in is one of thanksgiving and mercy and grace. Have mercy. These are heart words. A daily request from our hearts to the heart of God. These are heart words from our mouths to the heart of others. I think this is also what Paul is trying to say. Of all people, we Christians, the ones who know of and have received the grace and the mercy of God, should live out our lives imitating God. Imitating God in all that we say and all that we do, especially with one another. Therefore, be imitators of God, sisters and brothers, as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Amen and amen.
seated. So a couple of things. We're going to be beginning, as you know, our program year. We'll have Rally Day in a few weeks. We'll have a congregational meeting where we'll elect our new slate of officers. We'll have a great catered lunch that will be prepared for us. It's all happening unbelievably in a few days. How did summer go by so fast? I got to become a kid again where, you know, one day seemed like it lasted for 3 weeks. But anyway, just a reminder for the Sunday school teachers, you all have a meeting this Tuesday at 6:30. It's a vital mission of this church is the teaching of our youth and our adults. So those of you who have volunteered, thank you, thank you, thank you. And please remember that there's a meeting on Tuesday. And although it says, I think, that the trustees are meeting on Tuesday, Sally, the president of the board, has canceled that meeting. So if you didn't get that word, don't come on Tuesday unless you want to. You know, it's your church. You can come if you want to. But the trustees won't be meeting then. I invite you to take a few minutes with me to share your joys, your concerns with the congregation, and then Pastor Taylor will lead us in prayer. Anything you want to share? Yes, Jenny. Say again. And what is your friend's name who got engaged?
Rachel.
In this happy time. Yes. Wow. So Joanne's sister, who we have been praying for a couple of years, is in remission from stage 4 cancer. And we'll continue to pray for Shirley as she continues with her treatment for cancer. Yes. Okay, and her name is
Heather.
So Heather, for those who may not have heard, her house was caught in the flash flood, I guess, and she lost everything in her house: children's toys, appliances. And on top of that, at 27, she's been diagnosed with uterine cancer. So we'll keep Heather and her family and her friends in our prayer. Yes.
I am very thankful that Earl is with us this morning. Last Sunday, he was taken by ambulance to Riddle, and they diagnosed blood clots in his lungs. So I'm just very, very thankful for the medical community and for all the help that he's received.
I don't want to make this about me, Earl, but, you know, you misbehaved when I was out of town. And we're really, Earl was taken by ambulance to the hospital with blood clots in his lungs, which, as many of you know, is not, that's a very dangerous thing. So to have you here today to share your gifts with us, to share your joy of music with us is a blessing beyond compare. And I'm really glad to see you sitting here, my friend. Yes.
Recuperating and catching up.
So are you've been praying for our grandson Logan, who celebrated while we were in Alaska his 100th day of being clean and drug-free, and is working hard on continuing that journey to recovery. And Cindy and I both thank you for your continued prayers as he continues his journey, which is will be a difficult one. And he's thankful too. And then Angie is visiting with us, a friend of Cindy's for 45 years. I can't claim that because I've only known you for like 35 of those 45 years. But she is recovering and then eventually will make her way back to Utah, where she lives and is a primary school teacher. So we're glad that you're here, and that we're glad that we could be here for you. So, Edith? Edith has three new great-grandbabies that were born over the summer. That's always wonderful news.
Prayers for my father. He's had a recurring problems. He has suffered with growth and experienced a total life last few weeks ago when he was in the hospital to treat that. He put him on Coumadin. Now I had a talk with my niece yesterday. Apparently, the Coumadin was thinning out too much, but it had to go back to the hospital. He put him on Fairfax, but in care, he's the cataract for that. So, we both come up.
And what's your brother's name, Rich?
Al.
And Rich's brother, it's similar to what Earl has been dealing with, is continuing his struggles with that. So we'll keep Al in our prayer. Pastor Taylor, would you lead us in prayer?
Let's come before God in prayer. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. You opened our eyes to let us see. Be our light in our lives. Bring the warmth of your love and comfort to those who are mourning. Bring your healing and hope to those who are sick and those who are suffering from cancer and those in the hospital. Bring your true justice and freedom for those who are oppressed. Your provision and aid to those in poverty and the victims of floods and all natural disasters. Bring your companionship to those who are lonely, guidance to those who are lost, and rest for those who are weary. Be it all to us. Be our rock, our redeemer, our provider, and friend. And God, we also lift up to you our joys. The joys of new engagements, of remission from cancer, for the gift of music, for returns home from the hospital, for the celebration of drug-free life, for long-time friendships, and for new grandbabies. We thank you so much for the many blessings that you shower us with. And now, great listener, we lift our prayers to you in this moment of silence and ask that you would hear the murmurings of our hearts. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. God, we also lift up our friends this week. Our friends Cindy and Tom and Anne, for Elizabeth and Shirley and Sharon, for Jean and June, for Casey and Debbie, for Jacqueline and Jean, for the men and women and veterans of our armed forces. We pray for Charles and Jenny, and Charles and Melissa and John. We ask that your blessings would be upon these, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
So our last hymn, you know, I've always said we're a singing church. I tell my colleagues that, and we are a wonderfully beautiful singing church. We're working on being a dancing church. So we'll leave that verse out because we're not quite there yet. So why don't we sing, we are marching as it sits in the last hymn, and then we'll say we are singing, and we'll close with those words. Liz. My friends, go from this place and be imitators of God for those in your life, at your work, at your play, wherever you may be, to see the light of God, the grace of God shining through you. And go in peace to love and serve the Lord, to love and serve your neighbor, knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ walks with us and is present with us every second of every day. Go in that knowledge and in that peace. Amen and amen.